The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. He is Michael Coleman. There is only one guy. There's only one guy that I could have major surgery the day before. And then I go, you know what? Screw it. We're going to go do a show tomorrow. I got to talk to you. You got to be on my brain. I've got to get smart. We got to talk about the economy. We got to talk about non-for-profits. We got to talk about whatever you want to talk. And mental health, because that's certainly something I can speak long and arduous about. But Michael Coleman, the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, he's the CEO. He joins us right here for Mission Minded. And then, of course, Bite by Bite's going to be coming up here next. Michael, how are you? Merry Christmas to you again, my friend. This will be the last taping we do before the big guy's birthday next week.
Yeah. It's always good. It's a good time to be focused on family and your priorities. And certainly faith is a key priority for you and me both, and probably for a lot of our audience. And so it's a good time to focus on those things.
It's really amazing how, you know, I'm living life on life's terms, and living his will. And, you know, he's in the back of the boat. He's my rudder. I'm just sticking my hands under the boat and just putting my hands up and say, I'm going wherever you're taking me. And while life does seem very, very difficult sometimes, it does make you appreciate, what this special day is on the 25th more so than any other time. Cause it's all about the guests. Things are moving so quick and so fast. You got kids and you're doing trees and you're doing all these things. And then when you can finally sit down, pause and pray and realize what this day is really about, it really puts things in perspective, and then everything else kind of falls in place, which you know, I've kind of found. So I hope you feel, I hope you feel the same way. Maybe that's something that comes along with age. Maybe it comes along with our kids getting old enough that they,
I think the older you get, that you do start to reflect more and appreciate more. You have more traditions, family traditions, as your family kind of grows, you create those different dynamics. And then sometimes, unfortunately, the people that have gone before you, it's a time to reflect on the impact of their lives. So there's a lot of different dynamics that go into that.
It certainly is. And that's what we kind of want to talk about today. And we certainly, you know, we're always a glass half full in this show. So we want to keep it bright and happy and cheerful, but we want to be real. For people like you and I, who do live life on life's terms, and we look at this day as a day of marvel and a day of justification, a day of miracles, and a day of baby Jesus and everything else. There are some people that don't like this time of the year, not because of those things I just alluded to, but because the pressure is too much. It's just too much. There's too much to get done. If you're like me, I've got things that I've waited all year to do, like cleaning up my garage. And all of a sudden I'm starting to think, okay, January 1st, I want to start the year off fresh. I want to get this done. I want to get that done. Then you throw in New Year's resolutions on top of that. And you just add so much pressure to your schedule. It's hard to relax. And so that's why you have some people that get this incredible high, and just are flying through it and just loving every bit of it. But there's so many people like the rest of us that are just happy to see it end, just because we could take a deep breath. I got through another one. And then next thing you know, you're looking at each other July 7th going, oh my gosh, we get six more months before we do it again. When you are the CEO, you're the father, you're the parent of a lot of employees. How many employees do you have work there at the Heart of Alabama Food Bank?
About 50 on any given day.
So on any given day, you probably have one of those 50 walk up to you and maybe have, maybe not so much an internal problem there with the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, but also maybe with some personal issues around this time of the year. As a man who's been a boss for a long period of time, you see this around this time of the year a lot more, don't you?
Yeah. And I will tell you, it's very common when, you know, to see an employee that may be down or another employee who's a friend of an employee. So I may not see that employee, but word gets back that, hey, so-and-so lost their father. It's really affecting them this time of year, or they lost them. Like death of my father is December 17th. So a week before Christmas. This year, it was his 10th, the anniversary of his death, 10 years. Talked to my sister about that. I've worked through that emotionally and mentally. So when I think about that, it doesn't bring me into a really bad place, but that's not always the case, especially when people lose significant others, and it doesn't even have to be that they lost them during this time, but since from Thanksgiving through Christmas is a time to be with family. And the first time, I have one employee who lost her father back in August, but this is the first family gathering at Christmas to where the patriarch of the family is not going to be there. So it's a huge hole. It's a huge void. Now, some people are like, yes, I'm sad. Some people grieve. All of that is human, normal emotions. And that's just part of a process that we all go through in some aspect of life. But what can happen sometimes is that we may not be starting from the best place in terms of our mental health. Mm-hmm. So we may have other things. There's so many people that battle anxiety on a day-to-day basis. So you may already be riddled with anxiety, or you may already have problems with the outlook of your future. Just all these things that are pulling on this. And then you throw in something like the patriarch of the family. Or you may now realize, as I have, that with my father gone and grandfather, you know, I'm the next one so-called in the chute. And some people, when they're starting to deal with their own mortality and start things. So I'm turning 59 next week, and many people say, oh, that's plenty. Well, that's true. But I'm already having classmates, people that I know that I grew up with that have passed away. As a matter of fact, a really good friend passed away from cancer. She battled it. I didn't even know she was battling it until right there at the end, but she was battling cancer for almost a decade and finally succumbed to it about 8 weeks ago. Was the first really prominent member of our class that has passed on. And I'm thankful she had a very strong faith. She was a great person. Lived a great life, had raised a great family. But I'm just saying, all of that happens during this time. And if you think about this, a lot of people end up being alone during this time because, you know, businesses kind of shut, depending on your business, but school systems shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. We try to work less, take more days off, be more flexible, give more people time off, end early, things like that. Well, lots of times a job can be a lifeline. Like, it gives you purpose. It gives you mm-hmm. get up and you go to work and you're with friends and you're with people who care about you. And people are like, oh, I just can't wait for 2 weeks off of, you know, like teachers away from the kids. But then when you're away from that, now you're in a place where you're thinking about, you're kind of alone with your thoughts. And if those thoughts are not coming from a great place, or you're thinking about lost family, or you're thinking about a lost career, whatever it may be, lots of times it's just a slippery slide where you see people make sometimes decisions that they can't come back from. And that's why it's so important. That's why I just wanted to touch on it today was pay attention to your neighbor, pay attention to people in your world that even though you're away from your group during these holiday time, take a few minutes to reach out with a text or a call of anybody you know in that situation. Just say, hey, I know you lost your dad this past year, or I know you're going through this transition, maybe going through a divorce, whatever it may be. Reach out with some care and concern. Make you a list of just 10 people in your life. Just put it down, put it in your phone. And just when you had a few minutes at night at home, you know, take 5 minutes to shoot somebody a text just to say how much you mean to them. I will tell you that I've had people do this recently to me. And it's not even sometimes people that you would even consider a close friend, but somebody that tells you you've made an impact in their life. You just don't know. And I've heard that sometimes at the most inopportune times. Well, I shouldn't say, I would say unexpected times, mm-hmm. to where people have said that. And it came from an unexpected time from an unexpected person. But I really needed that kind of encouragement. And it really can just boost someone's frame of mind. So it's just a tough time of the year for a lot of people. It's just really important we think about our community, those who may be struggling, take the time to reach out to them, because you never know what difference you'll make in their life and ultimately in their decision making as to what they're struggling with and what they may do as a result of it.
Now, you've touched on a lot of things here, and I've been writing stuff down as you've talked, because you've unloaded a lot of things. It's funny, because as we have lost young people in my life, and I've lost several to cancer, but I've also lost some just because it was going to happen. I mean, we knew it was going to happen. We saw it. And it's unfortunate, but then, you know, just like that, my surgeon yesterday, I don't know why he told me, but my surgeon's 69 years old yesterday. And so whenever I see someone maybe younger than me leaving, I'm also looking at people that are much older than I am. I'm 58, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy's still doing surgery, doing great work. And that gives me hope to know that I could still live my life. And, you know, and listen, when God's ready to take you, he's going to take you. So you just, like you said, we got to live life on life's terms. The other thing is, I think you brought up a great point, and that is reaching out. We've got an opportunity now. I don't think people realize, you know, when you and I were in our 20s and 30s, the only way to reach out was on the phone or a letter. We weren't going to reach out on a letter because it took too much time. And I'm not going to call my school teacher. I mean, we didn't call, you know what I mean? I mean, I didn't think to call my neighbor and say, listen, I'm thinking about you. I mean, we just didn't do it. I mean, the phone was more of a necessity than something that you just used, you know, and now with texting, we got emails, we got Instagrams, we got Facebook search, we got all these different ways to reach out to all these different people. And it doesn't take just a few seconds to say, hey, listen, I haven't spoken. And those people that you weren't expecting it from, it means more because you're not expecting it.
That's right.
That's a beautiful thing. And it may be because they're having a hell of a great day. You know, maybe some days when I'm having a good day, I just want to reach out to everybody, not let them know how I'm doing, but say, how you doing? Because I feel like I'm on top of the world. And it works the reverse too. When you're down the dumps and you like to, you know, misery loves company. But yeah, it's super important to reach out to people like that and let them know that you're thinking about them. I have a list of, and you're certainly on that list. I have a list of individuals that are, you know, around major holidays, Christmases, Easter's, birthdays, whatever, blah, blah, blah. When's your birthday, by the way?
January 6th.
January 6th.
It's now become infamous since the January 6th.
Nice. There's going to be a storming of Michael Coleman's house on January 6th. It's just super important.
They will find much less resistance than they did at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's really, really bizarre and important to remember that in this world, when we seem like we're more isolated than we've ever been, that we have a better chance of not being isolated more than we've ever been. Isn't that weird? I mean,
dynamic.
We don't touch each other.
We think we're all connected with social media, but just because somebody's on social media,
it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's not for real. I mean, hell, when you go on dates, you're texting her from across the table. I mean, it's unfortunate. And I really miss that. And because of that, and then you sprinkle a little COVID or a lot of COVID, you know, we weren't allowed to touch each other. We had to stay 6 feet away from each other. We had to see our grandmas through plate glass windows. I mean, it's just, and I'm still at the point now where some people won't handshake anymore. You know, I'm in church and I tip my hand out, and if I stick my hand out, they stick their fist out. I know they're uncomfortable, but they weren't like that before COVID. They were huggers. How we used to hug in church. We hugged people we didn't even know in church. And now I just turn around, and some people actually like to sell, and it's okay if they're older. Maybe they learn some, and they'll sit in the back of church and they'll just wave, you know, I guess as long as they're waving to you, you know, doing the sign of peace, that's better than nothing.
You make a great point about human touch. So I will tell you something. My mother, I spoke at her funeral, and she passed away on Mother's Day 6 years ago. But one of the things that my mother taught me was she was such a loving, affectionate person. She would come to the nursing home, and she would make sure that everybody she talked to, she held their hand, rubbed their arm, gave them a hug, no matter what kind of shape they were in, because she was teaching me about the importance of human contact and human touch. Mm. And that's something else to remember. If I know everybody's not a hugger, because of my parents, I learned to be very affectionate. It's just a part of who I am. So I'm naturally affectionate.
Me too.
But I get the whole dynamic of people who are not, it makes them uncomfortable. But if you are, and you have an elderly neighbor, or especially somebody who's living by themselves, or you're going to go visit somebody. I mean, that's just one more thing to be aware of. If you have an opportunity to just hold somebody's hand, love their hand, express love in a physical way to somebody, boy, that can make, I mean, it can really just change their whole mindset, even if it's just for a brief period of time.
Touching is one of our five major senses. I mean, I've watched enough alone shows to know that alone, you're going to find food, you're going to make a fire, you're going to figure things out. That's not going to be the killer. The killer, the reason 99% of the people don't make it on that show is because they're alone. That's why it's called alone. They strive and they want to be able to touch somebody, reach somebody, particularly those. And if you look at these shows where these people, you know, they go out in the woods for 3 or 4 months at a time, they're fine. I mean, they've acclimated themselves to that type of life. And I don't know what their personal life is. Maybe they're married, maybe they're not, maybe they're just used to that kind of stuff. But if you're around someone that's takes pictures of their family with them, you know, they're going to be the one of the first ones out because they can't handle it, and good for them. I think something else that, you bring up older age too is, you know, we just think because someone, and I got a gentleman lives two houses down. His wife has had dementia for about 3 years. She just passed away about 3 weeks ago. His name's John. And I said, what are you going to do with the house? And he's like, I'm going to stay. Well, the next day he had it on the market and he decided he needed to move into a home. He's like, I can't live in this house by myself. As much of it was a pain, and as happy as I am to see her finally go meet her maker, because I know that she's happy now. And it was, and it was really hard to take care of her. She never, she'd walk around the neighborhood naked. She didn't know where she was at. It was, I mean, he didn't have the $7,000-$8,000 to put her in her home because she didn't know how long she was going to last. And so that part of him is a reliever. But he's like, I got to be around other people. I can't. And my next door neighbor's kind of aloof, and I'm over here. Hey, time you need anything, but I don't know him John well enough. We've never had a
meeting together. Sure.
So he wants to be
frame.
Yeah. So, I think that's a great point. And if we didn't learn that through COVID, man, we lost a lot of older people, that quite frankly, I think just lost the will to live. I firmly believe that some people, and my father's is an example of this. You can eke out another couple of months, couple of years, if you want it. If you have something on your chest and need to get it off, I saw it with my grandfather and I saw it with my father, and something needed to happen before they left. Now I've got my ex-father-in-law who just turned 86, and he like wakes up every morning. He's like, damn it, I'm still here. You know, I'm like, I thought for sure tonight was going to be the night, you know, and he's ready to go, but there's something beautiful about being at peace with yourself in that way too. So let me ask you this, without being too intrusive as a boss, as a CEO, and knowing you have these things you're dealing with, what's the best way to, approach someone that perhaps doesn't seem quite right? Is that something where you call them in? Do they have to bring it to you first? I mean, how do you deal
with that? You know, I will tell you this, there are all sorts of different ways you can do it based on your own personality and the personality of that employee. But here's the one thing not to do. That's definitely the thing not to do. And that is, do not ignore it. Because it's an uncomfortable question to ask, because, and this is, you know, I'm a very relational person. I'm probably a non-traditional CEO people would say I'm probably too friendly with some of my employees, and they would be right that sometimes that can cause problems. I get that I deserve that criticism, but I do it knowing that what the problems could be. But one of the advantages of that is my employees tend to be more open to talking with me when I tell them that. So sometimes I recognize an employee just needs somebody to listen. They need to talk about it and process all those emotions. And I want to give that to them. That's one way you show that you care, that they have value to you, is that you're willing to sit down as a CEO or as a supervisor, manager, whatever, and listen to them. I don't approach it from the idea that I'm their counselor or that I am expected to fix their problem, because a lost parent, it can't be fixed. The worst thing that you can do outside of ignoring it is offer platitudes. And that's something where we don't feel comfortable with silence. So we say things like, oh, it's all God's will. I mean, Can you imagine telling a person who lost a 2-year-old child, oh, it's God's will?
Yeah.
I mean, that is just not helpful. No matter what your intentions are, things like that are not helpful. It's better just to hurt with people and say, I want you to know that I care about you and you're hurting and that hurts me. And I wish I could change it, but just know that you matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is much more supportive.
It's beautiful.
And all it doesn't require you to fix it, because it's a process. Grieving's a process, or maybe situational or seasonal depression is a process. What you want people to know is that you notice them, you notice that something is different, you care about that something's different. If they just need somebody to talk to, hey, let's go grab some dinner. I'm going to make myself available to you. But if you're like, no, I just need to be by myself while I process it, just go, okay, well, if anything changes, the moment that changes and you want somebody to talk to, or you want somebody, here, you've got my number, I want you to call me.
Can you talk a little bit about it? And I think people mean well when they do this, but they love to share their own stories. Well, you know, I've been there. Or the first thing they say is, well, this is really not the same, but it kind of is. It's like, I promise you, it's not the same as losing a 2-year-old. Okay. Go ahead.
I've been there. And one of the things that I've really tried to be very disciplined about is never say, I know how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. Let's say somebody lost their father and I've lost my father. When I say, I know how you feel, what I'm presuming is that the relationship dynamic with my father is the same as it was with their father. And first of all, everybody views things totally different. I may say, well, I know how that feels, but I may be much more self-reliant. Like, I have a relationship with my dad, but I'm not dependent on him. But somebody, it could be somebody who grew up and the whole relationship has a lot of baggage, or the whole relationship has a lot of regret, or the whole relationship, well, they were closer than me and my dad. So to presume that you know, I know what we're saying, and what we're trying to do is relate.
Mm.
So instead, what I try to say is, if I want to relate, as I can say, I've lost my dad. I know what some of that hurt feels like. So I'm not comparing our relationship. I'm just saying I've been in that place where I felt loss from my father. And then you turn it back on them. You don't start drowning them in your stories, because lots of times it feels therapeutic for people to talk about their own stuff. But when somebody's hurting, you need to be in shut up mode and let them, express what they're doing. That's not the time for you to dump onto them. They already have enough going on. But I've been there before. I've seen others do it where they're nice and people just go on and on and on. They make it all about them and their relationship. They tell them all about their relationship with them and their father. And it's just, no, that's the time where you're just like, hey, I've experienced loss. I don't know what your and your dad's relationship was, but hey, if you ever want to sit down and talk about it, I'd love to know more about your dad.
Yeah.
But if this isn't the time, maybe in 2 months, it'll be the time. In 2 months, I still want to know about your dad when you're ready to talk to me about him.
We got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to get to this before we go. Dr. Josh Klepa, who's my best bud, just a great man. He talks about all the time, just because they're CEOs don't mean they don't have the same problems. Even psychologists, he's like, listen, I'm a psychologist. I have the same exact problems you have. I just have a name for it. Right.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like then from a CEO standpoint that is not only responsible in a way to take on a lot of this extra stuff because you are looked upon as a mentor and as an older individual, maybe even a father figure in some ways, but then where do you go to get respite? Where do you go to find your peace?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So I will use something that happened just this morning. We invited, so I'm in charge this year. I'm the incoming president of my Rotary Club. So I'm in charge of getting all the speakers for this year. And so we brought in somebody that talked about veteran suicide. And it wasn't just the fact that veteran suicides are 30% higher than the normal rate. But it was a specific legislation that was trying to help safeguard some things. So it wasn't just about that, because it's a very sad and depressing topic. But I asked that same question of that man, because that's his specialty. And I'm like, where do you go to get your, and he was just like me, is that you have to have circles of friends or outlets, whether it be a hobby. And he said, I go out to the woods all the time and I hunt. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not a hunter, but I get it. Mm-hmm. You get that solitude. You get that rest from it. He said, I don't answer my phone. He was just telling me all the things that he does. Well, I process everything in life, even tragedy, through humor. Now, it can be very upsetting when I'm trying to process something about somebody's death and I'm making a joke about it. But that's how I do it. Mm-hmm. So I surround myself with people who will joke about anything. And it's not that we're making light of it. It's not that we're making fun of it. But I could sit here, for me, I would rather laugh about things and release my stress through laughter than just sit there in my grief and in my sadness. So, but I have to recognize who, you know, where that is. And so I have to pick my spots. But I built a network of people that I can do that with, that get my sense of humor, as dark and twisted as it is.
You have a safe place here, my friend. And I threw a doozy at you this morning too. So I was like, God, I'll be last.
That's exactly what I have to do. You have to watch after, because the tendency would be to then me turn around because an employee or manager dumped something on me, would be to turn around and just dump stuff back on them.
Yeah.
And it does, when you get into a business dynamic, that doesn't go away just because you're friend. You know, I consider a lot of my staff friends. I consider them, more than just employees, but it can be a mistake to dump things on people, because then they're taking on that burden, mm-hmm. and they may not be in a place to be able to handle additional burden in their life. And so I don't want to presume that. So it's good to understand, hey, either I have a counselor, I have a pastor, or I just have friends that are in mentally good places that can absorb what I'm dumping on them. Because the last thing in the world is I want my burden to add to somebody else's burden that they're already struggling with, and make their life tougher.
Michael, no, I'm always here for you. And you know,
that, I know you are, brother.
I know you're here for me too. And that's a nice mm-hmm. thing to know. Well, we do a show together every single week, and that's one of the reasons I get an hour of therapy with doctors every single week. And I get therapy with you, who you're better than a lot of doctors I talk with too. I got news for you. God bless you, my friend. The next show we're doing is Bite by Bites, a show exclusive to Feeding America, and of course to the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We'll get into that. If you got any ideas, we didn't even get to our emails today. We'll get to those. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Your emails mean a lot to us, so make sure you continue to pepper us with all kinds of things about business, about startups, whatever, non-for-profits. We'll take care of it. And Bite by Bite is up next right here. Merry Christmas.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.